Good morning, the Wolf. Who is this?
Good morning, it's Jeff Foxworthy.
Jeff Foxworthy! Come on! Woo! What? Oh, Jeff. Wow, my favorite Jeff. You know, there's a few Jeffs around here, but you're my favorite Jeff. Jeff Foxworthy, how are you?
I am doing great. And it's spelled J-E-F-F, not the other, fancy way.
Yeah, like the Toys R Us giraffe or anything like that. So, Jeff Foxworthy, we spoke years ago when you first came to Eastern Idaho for the Eastern Idaho State Fair. So happy you are coming back, my friend. And I remember from our first conversation was it was maybe one of the easiest conversations I've ever had with a major celebrity in my life. I didn't even edit the call.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I actually dialed the number myself without having an assistant going, hold for Mr. Foxworthy.
Jeff Foxworthy, ladies and gentlemen. Eastern Idaho State Fair, a Thursday, September 5th, the Red Barn Comedy Tour is back. Bank of Commerce Grandstand Stage, funatthefair.com. Do not miss Jeff Foxworthy, my favorite comedian. Of course, you are widely known, universally, maybe intergalactically. You might be a redneck and I'm just so amazed that we haven't run out of endings. Are you amazed that this thing is still going?
I wrote the first redneck joke in 87. I did the first page-a-day calendar, so that's 365 of them, in 1990. And I just finished the calendar for 2025. So what is that, 35 years? All right, I'll tell you my latest one. So my grandson is 3, and we were in the pool last weekend, and he swam over to me. He calls me Jex, J-E-X. He goes, Jex, I got a pee-pee. And I said, buddy, just pee in the pool. And he said, really? I said, listen, here's one of the secrets of life. Nobody admits it, but everybody pees in the pool. And he goes, okay. So he let go of my neck. He swam to the side, climbed out of the pool, dropped his bathing suit, and peed into the pool. So my newest redneck joke is, if you have ever peed in the pool without being in the pool, you might be a redneck.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah.
That is courtesy of my 3-year-old grandson. Yep. So,
the hits just
you can't start too early raising them right.
That's right. The hits just keep on coming. Look, man, if you can't pee off the porch, you're just not living life right.
Hey, I had a buddy that had a porch built, and he walked out there the first day they moved into the house, and at waist height, they had put a 1x10 all the way around the railing of the porch. And he had him come back and redo it because he said, I'm not going to own a porch I can't pee off of.
Wow. I don't know where we go from here.
We started at the bottom, but now we work our way up.
I think last time we spoke, you gave me some girl dad advice because you, like me, you're outnumbered. I just have to ask, as far as you being a comedian, what was your pinnacle moment as a comedian, as your job? What was the pinnacle highlight of your comedic career?
See, now you might remember this, like young comics don't get it at all, but for me, it was being on Johnny Carson and then finish your set and you look over and Johnny's calling you over to the couch to talk. And I remember going home that night and laying in the bed, staring at the ceiling, going, I don't have a plan. That was all I ever dreamed of doing. Now I have no plan anymore.
Man.
And if you go in my house, there's not much stuff to show you I'm a comic, but I do have a little picture framed of me sitting in the chair talking to Johnny, and Johnny's got his head back and his mouth wide open laughing.
Oh, man.
And I'm like, that's all I ever wanted to do, right there.
Wow, that's a good one. That is a good one. What about as a father?
When my girls were little, I would rent a plane, and I would fly out every afternoon, and I would go do the show. And then as soon as the show was over, I'd get back on the plane, and I'd fly back home. Now, a lot of nights, I didn't get home till 2:30 in the morning, but I would get up at 6 o'clock, get them dressed, get them ready, and I would take them to school. I'd hang around till they got out of school. I'd go pick them up, bring them home, and I'd get back on the plane and fly back out to the next city. And but what it did, it cost a fortune, but it gave me 100 more days a year with my kids. Mm. And now, you know, they're 30 years old and 32, and they call or come see me every day of my life. Mm. So I think back. When I look back, I'm like, when did I sleep? I mean, I must not have slept for a decade, but it gave me, you know, I have a great relationship with my kids because I have a weird job, but I always wanted them to know they were the priority over my job, you know.
Wow.
So
wow.
We made it work.
You did make it work, my friend, and you should be very proud. What kind of parent were you when you were bringing them up? Were you the hands-off kind of guy, like, oh, yep, that's what you get? Or were you like the helicopter hovering with?
No, I want a helicopter because I wanted them. I wanted them to fail because I do believe, kind of, with a helicopter parent, you never want your kids to fail. And I always thought, hey, if you're failing at stuff, that means you're trying new stuff, and you find out what you're good at, what you're not good at. But you're kind of pushing yourself, you know.
Yeah.
And so, I was the one that, like, we would come back, and my wife's like, why did you let them do X, Y, Z? You know, I got in trouble probably as much as the kids did, but they're better for it.
Absolutely.
So, heck, I could do everything. I changed diapers. I could bathe them. I could dress them. I could get them dinner. I still do the same thing with my grandparents. The only thing I couldn't do was do their hair. Mm. And I was horrible at it.
Yeah.
I tried, you know, with the ribbons and the bows.
Yeah.
And anytime my wife was out of town and I would take them to school and I had gotten them ready, we'd pull up to school and the teachers would go, your wife's out of town, huh? I mean, they look like, you know, some kind of ad to adopt these kids in a foreign country or something. I was not good with the hair.
Oh, man. Speaking of your wife, Pam, how long have you guys been married now?
It's about a couple of weeks. It'll be 39 years.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. Wow.
So in show business, I think that's 240.
Probably you get a gold watch or something. I don't know.
Maybe, something, yeah.
Extra trip to the buffet.
It's the best thing I ever did in my life. You know, when you have a job, and there's a ton of people that have jobs that put them on the road, you know, pilots, truck drivers, you name it. And it takes a special spouse to be able to take care of things when you're not there.
Amen.
And she was always encouraging with everything I did. She totally could take care of stuff, and I wouldn't have been able to do this without her.
Absolutely. Well, congratulations, and what a milestone, and what a family. And clearly you have your priorities straight. Jeff Foxworthy, Thursday, September 5th, Eastern Idaho State Fair, Bank of Commerce, Grandstand Stage. More stories, more laughter, more redneck jokes. It's going to be more fun at the Eastern Idaho State Fair.
And we've gotten to the point in this country where we need to laugh.
Yeah.
I'm tired of people yelling at each other. Mm. I've always said laughter is the release valve that keeps the boiler from exploding, you know?
Amen.
And that's after shows when people come back and go, oh, my God, I can't remember the last time I laughed like that. And you're thinking, that's really cool that we could do that together, you know, to make you forget about all this bad stuff and just laugh for a minute.
Yep, laughter and Jesus, my friend. And let's talk a little bit about Jesus, because my Jesus is a laughing Jesus. He may have a redneck joke.
If we're made in God's image, you bet, buddy. Yeah. Hey, I think about me as a father. Nothing makes me happier than when my kids are laughing, right?
Absolutely.
It just fills my heart. So why wouldn't God think of us the same way?
Now, the American Bible Challenge, you hosted that for how many years? How many seasons?
I think we did 3 or 4 seasons of that.
I still am not very good at the Bible verses. I was Catholic. We didn't read the Bible. Someone read it to us. So here's, but I do have a favorite verse, and I'll give you mine if you give me yours. If the first one that comes,
okay.
I'm sure you got a lot of them.
Yeah.
Go ahead and give me one, and then I'll give you mine.
Okay, so I think my favorite is Galatians 1:10, where it says, am I now seeking the approval of man or of God. Because I figure if you're living your life in such a way that God approves of the way you're living your life, then everything else kind of go into place. And you can't live it to make people happy. I mean, especially in my business, you know, there's always somebody that's not going to like you. And I'm like, okay, whatever. I'm going to treat you kindly. I'm going to be nice. You know, I do try to love God, and I try to love my neighbor as myself. And I've been so blessed to make a fabulous living doing something I would have done for free. I still love doing it, but it's allowed me, you know, material possessions and leverage that I can use to help other people. And I don't take that for granted.
I think that's why I love you so much, is because we use what we do and the resources that we have in our business or whatever it is we do to positively affect other people.
Yeah, yes, yeah. There's enough negative. And to me, that's, you know, when people go, why am I here? That's why we're here. That's the purpose.
Absolutely.
And when you taste purpose, it's hard to be satisfied with existence.
You're spot on there. And I will say that verse, I have a feeling I know why the deeper meaning to that verse is because we're doing a lot of the things that we're not supposed to, and we're not keeping our eyes on God. We're doing a lot of the trying to satisfy, you know, people instead of satisfying God, and that's playing out all over the place right now. So we need a reminder of that, and that is a great verse for that. Mine is Mark 5:36, do not fear, only believe. I use that every day of my life, whatever the situation is. There's a lot of fear and anxiety in this world, and if we just give it to God, we would be so much happier just individually and, I think, as a community and as a nation, as a world, if we just stopped being afraid and started believing in the One.
You know what? I think the secret to life, and I do this all the time, I physically do it, is just opening my hand and go, let it go.
Yeah.
You're not in control. Let it go. And whether it's somebody cutting you off in traffic or, you know, the other day I'm trying to get to a show and the flight got canceled, and I'm like, all right, let it go. You're not in control.
Yeah.
And not to live with a spirit of fear. I don't want to live with a spirit of fear. Yeah. So, I'm with you, buddy.
You know, that whole thing about that someone cuts you off. We got roundabouts here, so I'm going to have to work on that. in a roundabout way, Jeff Foxworthy is coming Thursday, September 5th, Eastern Idaho State Fair, Bank of Commerce, Grandstand Stage. Tickets, funatthefair.com. I am so looking forward to seeing you, my friend. God bless you and your family. Please travel safe, and we will see you soon.
All right, you got it. See you next week. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Jeff. Right. Take care, brother.
You too, buddy. Thanks.